Veterans of Emergency Preparedness is now in session. Representative Escobal is running a little task for us right now, but he'll be right back. We begin Thursdays and have begun Thursdays. We'll continue. We're trying to center focus on why we're here. On Sunday, March 19th, three U.S. Army soldiers were shot and wounded by an Afghan Army soldier. The names of the soldiers have not yet been released. Coalition forces returned fire, killing the Afghan shooter. An Afghan Army spokesperson indicated the soldier who opened fire had made a mistake and had not shot the U.S. troops deliberately. And those things do happen. There are roughly 8,400 U.S. troops on the ground in Afghanistan today. Several U.S. troops have been killed in Afghanistan in recent years in so-called insider attacks, or blue on green, carried out by Afghan police or soldiers. In October, an Afghan man in a military uniform shot dead a U.S. soldier and an American civilian contractor inside a military base in Kabul before being killed. Since October 2016, 12 Americans have been killed in Afghanistan and five are still being held captive there. A top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, Army General John Nicholson, told Congress last month that the 15-year war had reached a stalemate and that an unspecified number of additional American personnel would be required to beat back the Taliban and regain the advantage. I emphasize this because we have been at war for 15 years. We have five cohorts of veterans currently living in the United States. The needs of every cohort is different. And yet, one fundamental thing remains. Wars are really sexy and newsworthy at the beginning when they're on page one and page two. Eventually, they get back on page 22, 23, or 24, and sometimes they get dropped altogether. Our job is to make sure that whether folks know about the wars or not, or are involved or not, we take care of the folks who are carrying the burden for the wars. That's why we're here. So thank everybody for being here today. We have a busy agenda, but I'm going to move a couple things around real quick so we have a clear understanding of what we're going to do. We have an informational meeting with three veteran support service specialists, but before we actually have them come up, and I appreciate Commissioner Farr making the drive up, Mr. Booker and Ms. Langley for being here, we're actually going to give courtesies to Representative Jody Hack by opening up a work session on House Bill 3075. But before I do that, I'm told that we must be very cognizant of time today because there's a very special event happening at 1605, or for Army personnel, 405. For Marines, that's when Mickey's big hand. But at 405, I understand the Ducks are playing in the Sweet 16. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it's not that often the Ducks get that far, so we want to make sure and be done by that time. So, without further ado, we're going to open public hearing 3075, Representative Hack.
Thank you, Chair Evans. For the record, my name is Jody Hack. I represent House District 19, which includes parts of South Salem, Almsville, and Turner. I'm here on behalf of House Bill 3075. This is a simple and straightforward bill. If passed, House Bill 3075 would grant a $250 income tax credit to volunteer firefighters who have performed 100 hours of volunteer service. With no financial incentives, these men and women willingly contribute their time, efforts, and sometimes their very lives, and they need to be recognized for it. Without volunteer firefighters, rural fire districts would not be able to operate. Oftentimes, volunteers make up the majority of rural fire department staff. Without them, the department would fall apart and repercussions would be catastrophic. Oregonians need to show our volunteer firefighters that we are thankful. Members of the committee, this bill provides a small tax credit to volunteer firefighters, which in my mind is the very least we can do for these volunteers who put their lives on the line for our safety and well-being without regard for their own. I believe the Bible says it best by saying, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, and how much more of a sacrifice is it than to lay down one's life for a stranger?" These selfless volunteers deserve to be recognized and rewarded. Offering a tax credit is a small, tangible way that Oregonians can say thank you. If you'll remember, I brought this bill in 2015. Some of you remember, Representative Boone for sure. And I'm back again, and I'll keep coming back because I'm just so thankful for the work that these folks do, and I hope that you'll join me in supporting and moving House Bill 3075.
Okay, thank you. Representative, any questions, Representative Hack? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hack, for being here and for doing this. This is very important. This is for some of you who know the history on this particular type of bill, the ninth attempt. And we have had it start on the Senate side. We've had it start on the House side. We get unanimous, almost unanimous, in that we get 59-1 in the House. And we get it almost to the end of the line, and then it doesn't happen. So I'm really appreciative that you're doing this. Representative Olson had introduced House Bill 2595, which is not a tax credit but a tax check-off. We're trying any and all permutations of this. And we tried that last year, too. So we have several people. Senator Hansel has a bill, Senate Bill 378, that's the tax check-off, same as Olson's bill, and your bill. And so I will do all I can to help facilitate this, and I hope that we have a great turnout, no pun intended, to these other hearings as they make their way through the process. So thank you very much.
Vice Chair, or Chair Evans, excuse me, and Vice Chair Boone, thank you so much. And if possible, I hope you work it and send it on its way, and we'll keep at it.
Okay. We're going to now actually have Mr. Volk explain a little background on it as well. I wanted to make sure and get you have an opportunity if you needed to get to your next committee. You're welcome to stay, however, because we're going to try to work the bill, but it's up to you. Mr. Volk, take it away.
Thank you, Chair. House Bill 3075 grants a tax credit of up to $250 per tax year for resident or non-resident individuals who provide 100 hours of volunteer services, including training hours, to a fire department or rural fire protection district. It applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1st, 2018 and before January 1st, 2028. Rural areas are primarily served by volunteer first responders. Rural fire protection districts faced increased difficulty recruiting and retaining volunteer firefighters. The Oregon Volunteer Firefighters Association website currently indicates that Oregon has over 11,000 firefighters, 8,200 of whom are volunteers. House Bill 3075 grants an income tax credit of $250 to firefighters to perform 100 hours of volunteer service to encourage recruitment and retention. We have received the fiscals and revenues, and in very basic terms, they've called it a revenue light and minimal fiscal impact.
That's good. Okay. I call forward Ms. Jenna Ingram and Jerry Kearney. It's Navy rank, so I can't always tell. Is that lieutenant?
Pardon?
Is that lieutenant?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank
Sometimes
you,
the braids confuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jenna Ingram, representing the Oregon Fire District Directors Association and the Oregon Volunteer Firefighters Association. And with me, he'll introduce himself in a moment, is Jerry Kearney, Clackamas Volunteer Firefighters Association. If it is your intent to work the bill, I will keep my comments very brief. They are already on OLIS. This is just reminiscent of, this reminds me of 2 years ago in 2015 when we heard the bill and Democrats and Republicans joined hands and said, yes, yes, we have to help volunteer firefighters. And it was unanimous, and it was one of the best days of my life. It really was. And then the bill died.
Yeah.
9 years in a row. So I'm not going to go over my testimony. I'm just going to say these are the best and most selfless people I know, and I'm going to ask a favor of you. I know there's a really great chance of getting this bill out of this committee today. I just ask that you follow through, that you go to the speaker, you go to the revenue committee, and you encourage them to pass the bill. I have to tell you, I don't think it's intentional that volunteers get overlooked year after year after year. I think there's a disconnect, and I hate to pull the old, you know, rural, you know, card, but I really think the urban areas don't have a clear understanding of how vital it is to have the volunteer firefighters on board. They are the lifeblood of our rural communities. And just by way of illustration, not to disparage anyone, but a few sessions back, I went to the speaker's office to talk about attraction and retention and incentives for volunteer firefighters. And I was talking with their staff, and they said, well, we want you to know we support you. We passed the cancer presumption bill. And I just about fell over, and I thought, you know, that's wonderful, but volunteers don't get that privilege. So I'm just going to say, I guess not anything at this point, because I can tell that you're just ready to vote this out of committee. I will end my comments, and Jerry probably has a comment or two. Thank you,
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jerry Carney. I'm the president of the Clackamas Volunteer Firefighters Association. One of the things that I've noticed, excuse me, is that, as Genoa has pointed out in the past, along the I-5 corridor, there's a lot of paid fire departments. There's absolutely there. However, I also noticed this. Portland is immediately adjacent to Clackamas Fire Protection District. We run mutual aids together with them. We have three companies in Clackamas that are 100% staffed by volunteers. Gladstone is immediately adjacent to Clackamas, 100% volunteer. I'm not going to try to dazzle you with numbers. Genoa has cited some. However, as far as the requirement of the number of hours, I can't think of a volunteer in the state who puts in that few number of hours. Personally, I personally put in about 30 hours a week. So I think I would, you know, that would well qualify. The other thing I'm going to ask is this. I'm going to try to draw an analogy. When we get an alarm, we go out the door of the firehouse. Oh, there's traffic. We need red lights and sirens to clear the traffic. It sounds, and I'm not an expert in the legislative process as you are and as Genoa is, but it sounds like this bill encounters traffic along the way and has for many years. So I'm going to ask if you would be our red lights and sirens and see if you could clear that traffic out of the way. And then hopefully it would yield to you. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you both. Any questions? Okay, seeing no questions, is there anybody that wants to speak on this bill that did not sign a little piece of paper?
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Have we done this bill before?
Yes.
You came in just right after I mentioned it was nine. This is the ninth attack.
I was going to say, this thing looks like deja vu.
Yeah, all over again. Yeah.
Groundhog Day here,
yeah.
Sir.
Yes. All right. And on that note, I'm going to close the public hearing, and I'm going to open a work session on
House Bill 3075. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3075 to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to revenue.
Representative Esquivel moves House Bill 3075 to the floor with a due pass recommendation that it be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference. Is there any comments?
Quick one, Chair.
Yes?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. So if this is the ninth time, is it always revenue or ways and means, or does it get out of there? Maybe anybody can answer that. That would be question one.
I think the big hang-up's been ways and means.
No.
No, it's been revenue.
Revenue.
Revenue. It's been revenue.
Revenue.
All right, so then my follow-up to that would be, because the analogy of red lights and sirens resonates with me. Do we need to send more threatening type emails down, or would you prefer nice emails?
Avoiding the threats, probably good.
Well,
but to your point, what I think one of the things that I think can be said fairly is that. And again, I say this as a former volunteer firefighter, so I'm a little too fat for my turnouts these days, but nonetheless, I remember those years fondly. I think if each member of the Revenue Committee perhaps understood how important this was in rural areas and some urban areas, I think it's one of those cases where it's always in consideration, but at the end game, it's one of the ones that are left. No one has any, to my knowledge, there's not a person in the building that doesn't think it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's how far can we stretch the dollars. I think every representative here has the opportunity to go down and to explain why this year may be the right year. The committee can't do much more than affirm it and pass it on to revenue. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe taking a page out of Senator Johnson's playbook is never assume people know everything about something because we do. And so start over in the outreach and education and let people know that, you know, well, when you come in, I'll say in my area where I was a firefighter for 16 years, and when you come down Highway 26 to go from Portland to the beach, to Cannon Beach, you go through five different districts, and your potential hit would be a car accident, a landslide, a storm, whatever, tree falling on you, whatever. And then when you get to the beach, you might get stuck in the ocean, you might get hit by a log, you might get whatever happens to people when they're out in these areas. But it's only all volunteer out there, and they train well, they work well together. Mutual aid is just part of the game. And we work closely with Life Flight and other air ambulance and then ground ambulance mm-hmm. systems. Everybody trains very well together because we're it, and we are the golden hour at the coast is truly a good hour for some people. So you have very good coverage. They don't think of that. They think, oh, we'll just call the hospital or whatever, call Portland Fire, or I'm just picking out Portland now, but... But a lot of people on any given date, we can have Hood to Coast with 87,000 people on the beach at the end, or some of these events that we have. And I'll tell you, it's, you know, these people, the $250 tax credit is nothing when it comes to all the cleanup and the expenses of going to drills and calls and stuff like that. Gas, the price of gas when it was $4 or $5 a gallon. Think how fast that would eat that up. So anyway, I think what we need to do is we need to talk to these people who are going to make the decisions and the votes and remind them that, you know, of what these people do. And mm-hmm. thank you. And 30 hours a week is about right for a volunteer when you're into it. My husband was a chief for many, many years, just retired last year. So I hope we can do this today and follow it through as requested by Representative Hack. And take it, you know, we should all go to revenue and talk to them and talk to our speaker and talk to people and say, look, we have tried, we have done everything. It used to be at about $2,000. We've been all over the map on the money. 250 is about very low. It's about as low as we should go. And then the bills that are going to be coming out with that are tax checkoffs that cost the state nothing and, you know, mean a lot. And whether we give people a lot or a little, it's the thought. And it's the recognition. And when you see how many people will be filling our chairs here and in the chambers, because I think we could bring on all those people who came for presumption. We filled the whole gallery, I think, that day. So anyway, I'll okay. stand down now.
Meek and then Representative Parrish worked on this with.
Thank you, Chair Evans. I just wanted to, well, first of all, before we get going, thank you, Lieutenant, from Clackamas County, and my district includes Gladstone, and they do a fine job, and we do appreciate them very much. And so I want to ask permission I want to put my full support behind this and ask Representative Hack if I can jump on as a co-sponsor of this, and I'll do that right now. And then I will do all I can to communicate with the folks that I know on revenue and also including the chair. And so, yeah, hopefully we can get some sirens through the House, and then we have to work at the Senate side, too. So thank you very much, Chair.
Yep. Representative Parrish.
Thanks. Well, one, I could offer that we could pull it to the floor again because we did that 2 years ago and try to get it out that way. I'd be happy to make that motion on the floor.
It's not going to be heard today.
We could move to not send it to revenue, or we could gut and stuff it and find a different way to allocate $250 and make it go through the Ways and Means Committee again, since clearly the Revenue Committee is our problem. We might consider in a subsequent year that we find a different way to allocate those funds and make it a Ways and Means ask rather than a revenue issue, and that might solve our problem if we have problems with this bill moving forward.
Whatever works.
Okay. Creativity, innovation, always good.
Always happy.
Anything?
Find yes, a solution.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of brief comments. I don't think the average citizen in the state realizes the huge absence in fire protection there would be without the volunteers. I know most of the communities that I'm familiar with have maybe two or three paid staff, and the rest are all volunteers. So they put in a tremendous amount of time, but they also, they were pretty active in community service and other events for communities too. So and I'd heard a figure a couple of years ago that there were something like 80% of the firefighters are volunteer, and that's huge. I mean, I also, Representative Hack, would like to be a sponsor on this bill if you're okay with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
How do you do that?
Without volunteer firefighters, do you realize what it would be like to try and build a house out in rural Oregon? Because if you don't have fire insurance, you don't build a house.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. All good arguments.
Okay.
Seeing the end of discussion, we're going to move to a vote. Call the roll.
Representative Lewis.
Aye.
Representative Lively.
Aye.
Representative Meek.
Aye.
Representative Parrish.
Aye.
Representative Post.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Evans.
Aye. Motion passes in a squeaker. Now that it's at revenue, I don't know if revenue or we would get to decide who gets to talk on the floor if it gets to the floor, but we will.
Go to revenue.
Revenue gets to do that. All right. Well, I think.
The barrier with revenue last time, I think I
have
this.
All right. Arms,
so, anybody who wants to join as a sponsor, you can do electronically. So, good day. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you all.
All right. We're going to move on back to the beginning of the agenda. And Representative Post, I'm still keeping an eye on the clock. So, Commissioner Farr, why don't you come forward, please? And we'll have Mr. Booker and Langley come up as a panel, if that's all right. And again, this is a 20-minute clock, so 20 minutes. But it doesn't have like a loud clicking sound to make it nervous, but we try to make sure and keep on schedule. I understand you are a former member of the body. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Commissioner, if you'd like to introduce us to yourself again and take it away.
Thank you very much, Chair Evans, to the committee. Thank you for entertaining my testimony today. You know, I've spent a lot more time up there than down here. It's been a while. My service in the my name is Pat Farr. I'm the chair of the Lane County Board of Commissioners. Pardon me. Cart before the horse. My time in the legislature was prior to anybody who's here serving. However, I believe that Rep. Esquivel served with my wife, Debbie, who served here after me, and I believe that Rep. Boone also served with Debbie after I left. So they will collaborate my saying that she was a far better rep than I ever dreamed of being. So, thank you for allowing me to be here today. I have a tiny ask at the end of my testimony, and I doubt that I'll take 20 minutes unless you have questions for me. Mm-hmm. But first, I'm going to give a lot of good news about what can be done for veterans by coordinating efforts.
Great.
We have a program in Lane County. It's called Operation 365. I'll talk more a little bit about that. But very significantly, if you see the, I handed out a. An envelope, and inside the envelope there's a letter, which is a letter that I wrote last year, but inside the envelope is also a photograph, and you notice that the photograph is of the former First Lady Michelle Obama. The significance of that is that last November, Mrs. Obama invited Mayor Kitty Pearcey and I to the White House to celebrate the success of Operation 365. Operation 365 is housing homeless veterans in Lane County. We had a goal of housing 365 veterans. We picked that number because it is arbitrary, but one for each day of the year in 2015. The operation goes on. In 2015, we actually housed, beyond our goal of 365, we housed 404 homeless veterans. The operation continues now, and last last week, as of last week, the programs that we initiated and continue have housed over 640 homeless veterans in Lane County alone. So Mrs. Obama wanted to celebrate that, and there were several dozen of us that she invited from around the nation, people who responded to the mayor's challenge and housed veterans throughout the nation. Our program was... As far as the comparison to the number of people in the county, ours was by far the number one program in the nation.
Congratulations. And we did it. A lot of work.
It was a great deal of work, and I'd like to say that I did the work, but I was predominantly an observer and a coordinator of the work. The work was performed by nonprofits, by all of the governments in Lane County, and by private industry, significantly a great deal by private industry. The letter that I gave to you outlines some of the programs that we were successful with, and it also talks about, I'll read a couple of the testimonies from people who received benefits from Operation 365. Now, since then, one of the things that Operation 365 has helped us with is to establish housing for veterans in Lane County, some permanent housing, some transitional housing. And the programs that we are operating in Lane County have received a little bit of acclaim because they are innovative in their nature, and they do rely on a coordinated effort between private, nonprofit, and government agencies. Over the course of the last 6 months, we've had county commissioners from, I believe it's 19 different counties have toured our facilities in Lane County to see if it's something that they're able to replicate in their own fashion. No two counties can operate exactly the same, but in their own fashion, replicate some of the programs. And I'll name a couple of the counties. You may recognize the names of some of these counties. Deschutes County was there. Yamville County visited us, Clackamas County, Marion County, and Polk County. Washington County came down, Coos, Curry, Klamath, Benton, and Linn County, among others, came to Lane County to see the different things that we were doing. And the one thing that I want to point out is the upstream and downstream coordination of efforts. We relied on help from the state, we relied on help from local governments, and we relied on help from private industry. So the accomplishments, which I'll talk about ever so briefly, I'm not going to read this whole thing because I've given it to you. You can look at the blah 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 yourself. Words at a certain point in time, words just sound like words. And after a long day of work here in the building, and I know for a fact from my experience that the air has not been recirculated in this building since 1938. So therefore, there's a high carbon dioxide. creation of Operation 65 made the challenge tangible by setting the goal of housing one veteran for every day of the year. As we go down there, we'll see a new collaboration between several entities leveraging $3 million in supportive services for veterans, a veterans grant from the VA, which was administered by one of our local nonprofits, St. Vincent de Paul. We created a single registry for veterans so that at this point in time, if someone registers in any nonprofit agency in Lane County, including the Mission, which is one of our main housing providers, they immediately go into our centralized a clearing system to direct them toward housing, toward services. I spent the morning at the Mission this morning shadowing one of their caseworkers in their behavioral health, and she was explaining to me that if a veteran enters the Mission, which provides emergency housing, sometimes for extended periods of time, they immediately get put through into our system, and we determine if there is one of the veterans programs that they're able to access. Also, they're helped to access the different benefits that they have that they have qualified for that many of them are not receiving. So it's more than just housing. We created a new position that was funded by the City of Eugene that helped us with 365. And then we had weekly collaboration meetings between the providers to target service gaps and the needs of individual veterans. Once again, it's a coordination of efforts. And we could not have achieved it as Lane County government or as the City of Eugene and the City of Springfield government. Springfield was strongly involved in this. Mayor Lundberg initially, and then subsequently Councilor Van Gordon became a part of this. And moving on down, one of the most important elements is something that we're going to replicate this year. We had a summit, an early summit that brought together HUD and state agencies, and also the State Department of Veterans Affairs was there. Also, we brought together all of the local local governments, and we created a buzz, that is to say, people who had never been involved in finding housing before, because it was veterans, because they really cared about veterans, they couldn't stomach the thought of veterans being homeless, they got involved for the first time. We're going to replicate that this year on the program that we're operating now, which is Operation 600, which is our program to create 600 new supportive housing units in Lane County between now and 2021. And once again, that's going to be a collaborative effort. I was talking just today with Vin LaNana and the staff of Oregon 21, which is the World Games are coming to Oregon. A great deal of infrastructure needs to be built for that, much of which is going to be looked at closely by the University of Oregon as far as the housing is concerned. But we're going to leverage some of our behavioral health housing, I'm hoping, that will be a legacy beyond the 2021 Games. Mm-hmm. And then funding for tuition, creation of a veteran safe spot, which is a number of your county commissioners have visited our veteran safe spot, which is a place where 30 veterans live. And most of them work. Some of them go to school. But they're veterans who otherwise would not find housing. And that is associated with it's adjacent to the mission. I'll go down very quickly to the key partners, which was Lane County, City of Eugene, St. Vincent de Paul of Lane County, Housing and Community Services Agency of Lane County, that's our HACSA, Community Supported Shelters, Eugene Mission, Housing Our Veterans, and the Veterans Affairs Behavioral Health Reintegration Recovery Services. It's also our CVSO is deeply involved in our ongoing efforts, obviously. And I will talk a little bit more about CVSO and the importance of additional funding for CVSOs in the state. Very briefly, I'll give you a couple of success stories, which you see as bullet points on the second page of the letter that I provided. No names, but this gentleman did not meet the SSVF threshold for homeless prevention financial assistance, received an eviction notice, and with case management provided by SSVF, housing specialists, was approved almost immediately for another apartment. He didn't have enough money. I won't go into the exact words, but didn't have enough money to make the down payment. Our Operation 365 was able to help him with not the down payment, but the first last security deposit, and got him into housing, and that person is in housing today. I'll let you read the other testimonies without boring you with my voice and my words. And I'll come to the conclusion. I'm a member of the Association of Oregon County's Veterans Advisory Committee, very robust committee, getting traction continually with the members from Ontario to Tillamook. You know, we're really our stretch statewide. And we get together, and you'll be hearing from a number of the people from our committee, and also from people from ODVA. And after Measure 96, we're all very optimistic that potentially additional funding is going to be available to extend the services for our CVSO model. I consider it our CVSO model as ground zero for leveraging services, leveraging federal money, bringing federal money into the state, and helping us to further serve veterans in ways that they've never been served before. With that, I'm going to conclude my testimony. Well under the 20 minutes, I hope, although I'm not a very good judge.
Well under.
Very good. This morning I provided testimony. I had 300 seconds to deliver my testimony. That was 5 minutes. And I had my own time.
Right? Okay. Well,
thank you. Then if I may just request questions.
Yes. Questions? I've got a couple, but I will hold fire until... Okay, I'll start them off. All right. So as we're working through recommendations for how to get the best value for the increased money from lottery set-asides. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about CVSO programs in Lane County in this particular environment, just so I have a basic understanding, how many CVSOs are currently engaged in that work?
In Lane County? Mm-hmm. I could only give you an estimate. I believe, and I think Ms. Skillern behind me may be able to give me a more accurate number. Three. Thank you very much. We have three.
Good job.
No estimate there. And Lane County is a county of, it's about the size of Connecticut, stretches from Hasita Head to the top of the Three Sisters with about 370,000 population. And enough homeless veterans, by the way, that we were able to house more than 600, and we've still not completed our job.
And that brings me to my second question. How many are still out there?
It's a dynamic population. We have new veterans coming in all the time. And, of course, some of the veterans who are housed, for whatever reason, and fall out of housing. So we would estimate that there's probably someplace between 100 and 200 homeless veterans still in Lane County. And that may be an underestimate because many of them lived off the grid, so to speak. We have a lot of wilderness area in Lane County. And some of the veterans, particularly veterans, like to non-involvement. That's their choice.
It's having folks living up above Florence in the woods.
Exactly.
In a camp.
Or up by Cougar Reservoir. So it is an issue, and we try to have an outreach to them to not to bring them in, but to let them know the services that they're able to access. Sir?
Yes, good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have any idea what the average age is?
You know, it's we have a lot of Vietnam era veterans.
That's what I thought they're coming out on.
Yeah, so a lot of them are Vietnam era veterans. We don't see as huge a number of returning veterans from recent overseas service, but there are veterans who have lost their jobs, lost their families when they come home. Most recently, I served in the U.S. Army and in the Oregon Army National Guard. I was in the 2nd of the 162. I was Charlie Company Commander. Our unit just came back, one of the last units to come back from Afghanistan, and I don't have exact numbers, but it's not a huge number of young veterans. It's more toward the middle and older age veterans.
Experienced and mature.
I like that term.
Experienced.
I like experience.
Experienced and mature. Any other questions for
Cameron Smith about the older?
Well, here's. I don't have a question, but I do have just a comment. What you're doing down there is truly remarkable.
Thank you.
I have family up in Washington County who 3 years ago told me this thing was starting to happen with St. Vincent de Paul and trying to bring together the vet center and the service organizations and CVSOs. My staff has been down there. I keep trying to get on the schedule to go down there. But I know that the results have been tremendous and that it really is a partnership between private, nonprofit, public, multi-generational, et cetera, and the faith community. So truly thank you for what you have done. Not every county would take it upon themselves to try to do this. As we move forward, we certainly would like your input on, as we put our recommendations out and try to fine-tune how some of the programs are going. One thing I do know is that we will have, or at least we've gotten the green light to have, an expanded role for the ODVA Advisory Committee in terms of they will have some monies set aside for grants, for pilot programs.
Excellent.
And the idea is that they can basically be the navigator so that if people have ideas for nonprofits or service groups or others, these grants can be proven to either work or not by the time the next legislature meets. And if it's a program that works, we can codify it and make it more part of the system. So as your organizations are finding needs that don't have any other connectors, please keep us in mind and let us know how it's going. Okay.
Thank you, Chair Evans. And I will state that I'm not calling just for help for Lane County. You know, your county commissioners will tell you, and you know from your experience, that it's not just Lane County that veterans need help, particularly surrounding housing. And if you talk to your individual county commissioners, you'll get many of them, as I've mentioned, have visited Lane County just to see what we're doing. And hopefully we can leverage some of the work that we're doing throughout the state and even beyond and put our men and women who've served our nation into housing and then the other services that that they have earned. So thank you very much.
Thank
you for your service and your service in the Oregon Air National Guard, I believe. Is that
yes, sir. Yeah. Air Force Air National Guard. Yeah,
and I believe, Rep. Meek, you were Air Force also.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I was Cold War. I was prepared. The Soviets invaded Afghanistan when I was in service, but we never had to move our patch from here to here. So thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, now we're going to be calling up.
Do something about all these Air Force guys.
Yes, Air Force, good. Bring up the Employment Department folks. Come on up. Mr. Jim Booker, also Air Force. And Ms. Shannon Langley, who I understand is Army. It's all right, we still like you. Nothing personal. A certain representative down that way was Army, too, so, you know, he's smiling. What we were hoping to hear is kind of the federal-state split. What's going on? Tell us all the different things that, Mr. Booker, I know you've been involved in for some time on these issues. And I understand you are in charge of the Leave or Devop program. So we're looking forward to hearing all the good work you're doing. And we're not quite done with the 20 minutes, so I can't actually start it, so there's no timer. So you're going to, you know, we're just going to try to get you close to 20 minutes. So go ahead.
Chairman Evans, members of the committee, my name is Shannon Langley. I'm the Veterans Program Coordinator for the Oregon Employment Department, and like you already mentioned, I'm an Army veteran. I would also like to introduce Jim Booker. He's a Federal Programs Manager with the Oregon Employment Department, and he's Air Force, but I forgive you for that. Thank you for inviting me here to talk about veteran services. Before I get into the meat of the testimony, you'll notice in front of you that each of you have a coin. And these are called Veterans Incentive Coins. And many of you served in the military. You served in the Air Force, you served in the Navy, you served in the Army. So you're probably pretty familiar with what these coins mean. To a younger soldier, receiving a coin from an officer means that you've gone above and beyond, that you've been recognized for outstanding service. So in that vein, I've been lucky enough to be able to design coins and give them to the Veterans Representative staff. They hand these coins out to community partners and employers for outstanding support of veterans in their community. And I wanted to give you these coins today for as a thank you for inviting me to talk about veteran services and for your support of veterans in Oregon. Now, if you noticed, I'm gonna grab my coin here, I was able to fit all five seals on the coin. I wanted to recognize all of your service. And it does say Veterans Representatives honoring those who served. And if you flip the coin over, it does have a soldier kneeling. And it says, once more into the fray, into the last good fight I'll ever know. So that's a thank you for everybody on the panel. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Oregon's veterans. We have a little over 306,000 veterans throughout the state of Oregon. We also have a large National Guard and Reserve component. Many of you know this because you've served in the National Guard. And many of you, just like the rest of our National Guard folks, have been deployed multiple times overseas. Unlike many states, we don't have a large military installation. We don't have a Fort Bragg. We don't have a Lewis McCoy. We have two small Coast Guard installations, one in Astoria and one in North Bend. Large installations provide amenities for veterans. They provide transitional services. They provide employment services. They provide medical services. Because we lack those large installations, that's where the Oregon Employment Department's Veterans Program comes in. We fill in those gaps in services. We also provide priority of service and all the employment services that we provide at every work source location to honor our veterans. I'd also like to talk to you a little bit about the Veterans Program, who we are and what we do. So the Veterans Program is funded from the Department of Labor Vets. It is funded through a grant called the Jobs for Veterans State Grant, or the JVSG grant, and that's awarded to all state workforce agencies throughout the nation. That pays for two different kinds of veterans representatives. And many of you may be familiar with some of these acronyms. So that pays for Disabled Veterans Outreach Program Specialist, or DVOPS, and it also pays for Local Veterans Employment Representatives, or LEVERS. Now, DVOPS, their main priority is providing those one-on-one intensive employment services to veterans with disabilities and barriers to employment. Some of these barriers can be they're homeless, they're ex-offenders, they've been unemployed for a long period of time, they're educationally disadvantaged, they live in rural communities that may not have as many services to help them. So they go out into these communities, they partner with nonprofit organizations, they partner with the VA, so that way they can make value-added referrals for supportive services. Because the main point of what we do is to help them overcome those barriers to employment so they can find long-term living wage jobs. Now, LEVERS, on the other hand, they travel throughout the state of Oregon and they foster relationships with employers. They talk to employers about the benefits of hiring a veteran, and they also partner with employers on networking events and career fairs. Currently, we have 24 veterans representatives at multiple worksource locations throughout the state. Our veterans representatives are specially trained to really, really help veterans. They're veterans themselves, and that way they kind of understand the veterans' experience. They're also specially trained through the National Veterans Training Institute, or NVTI, and they learn things such as outreach techniques, case management techniques, how to foster relationships with employers. And they take these skills and they show veterans how to translate military jargon into civilian speak, how to navigate job search engines, how to complete a really good-looking resume, how to present themselves in front of an employer. They give them referrals to apprenticeship programs, things of that nature. They also partner with nonprofit organizations and VA-based organizations throughout the state. And I'm only going to, because I did give you guys each my testimony, I'm only going to point out some of them. We partner extensively with the VA. Now, the VA, and I'm not going to name everything they do because it's quite a bit, but the VA primarily helps our veterans with applying for disability benefits, access to health care, access to counseling, information about educational benefits, things of that nature. So we are always referring veterans to the VA, and they're referring veterans to us. So we have a really good working relationship. Additionally, we work with a lot of transitional housing programs. We have partnerships with Transition Projects, with Easter Seals, with St. Vincent de Paul. We also work with ex-offender reentry programs, such as the Washington County Restitution Center and the Tillamook County and Columbia County Reentry Centers. And, of course, we forge those relationships with employers, such as Nike, OHSU, Radaway Trucking, Intel, just to name a few. I've been talking quite a bit about what veterans representatives do and our funding and how we partner. But the best way to really illustrate the success of our program is to talk about some of our success stories. So one success story that really, really kind of stays with me involves a veteran and an employer. So a veteran by the name of Lauren Holm came in to see one of our veterans representatives out of our Tualatin office. And this veteran's representative's name is Estanislao Quiñones, which is somewhat difficult for a lot of people to pronounce, so we all call him Q. So he met with Q, and Q sat down with him. They developed an individual employment plan. He helped him with his resume. He referred him to a job opportunity as a regional recruiter with Radaway Trucking. Well, he got the job. And he was so happy with the services, the level of service that he was provided by Q, that he came back and he said, how can I be more involved in what you guys do? How can I help you? Q connected Lauren with me, and we started working together on networking planning committees. And in fact, he convinced Redaway Trucking to sponsor two different networking events. And they were very, very successful. And if I have time, I'll talk about those as well. But more importantly, Lauren fostered relationships with veterans representatives throughout the state. So he has worked with veterans representatives in Washington County, in Medford, in Clackamas County, in Astoria, LeGrand, Eugene, and I probably missed a few of them. But the point is that he's fostered these great relationships with our vet reps, which resulted in 26 veterans being referred to him for employment. And as of now, Redaway Trucking has hired 8 veterans through our program. So to me, that is a really great illustration of not only fostering a great relationship with a veteran, but with an employer. And that employer keeps paying that back to us. And that's wonderful. Okay. So I think I have enough time for my second success story. This involves our networking events. So we had a networking event last year in Salem. And Redaway Trucking was one of the sponsors of the event. So the event, we actually partnered with quite a few organizations. We partnered with the Department of Labor. We partnered with the employer support of the Garden Reserve. So they're DOD-funded. They're nationally recognized. And their main purpose is to provide supportive services for our National Guard and reservists. And as many of you know, we have quite a few National Guard reservists that have been deployed multiple times and that are also veterans. So it only made sense for us to partner together, and we have an excellent working relationship. So we partnered with ESGR. We also partnered with the Society for Human Resource Management. And
We had, I think, over 21 employers there as well. And the great thing about these employers is our vet reps really got a chance to get to know them. They learned about the organization. They learned about, okay, what is your ideal candidate? What's the best way to apply? But more importantly, they got these employers excited about hiring veterans, and that's the big piece there. On the other side, we had veterans representatives that worked one-on-one with their veteran clients. They really went above and beyond to make sure that they were really prepared for this networking event and that they took advantage of it, that they were dressed for success, they had that resume in their hand, and they could talk about their skills. So bringing these great prepared veterans together with these employers. And the event was great. In fact, we surveyed everybody that went to the event, and that's the job seekers and the employers, and 100% of them said that it met or exceeded their expectations, and 95% of them said that they would do it again. In fact, most of them did in Portland later that year. Two veterans were hired on the spot, like 15 minutes into it. I've never seen that happen before. So to me, that's a really, really good indication that we're doing the right things. All right, I think we've got about 5 minutes. Okay, so I've been talking about success stories in our program, but I also wanted to give you guys some numbers. So talking about program performance and some recent program activity. So for program year 2015, we provided employment services to over 19,000 veteran customers. We helped 5,700 veterans find employment. And that's not just they came in and they happened to find a job. We actually provided services that led to that employment. We also provided intensive employment services to over 4,000 disabled veterans and veterans with barriers to employment. So I know I've been talking about intensive services a lot. That's a term that we use quite a bit. Intensive services is something that's very important to the Department of Labor. They measure it. And the definition of the intensive services is developing that individual employment plan, providing those one-on-one services, helping them overcome those barriers to employment, referring them to those service providers that are going to help them overcome those barriers. So that's their definition of intensive services. In 2016, DOL said, okay, we're going to start measuring your intensive services, and we want all the state agencies of all the veterans that these veterans representatives serve, you need to provide at least 90% of them intensive services. I'm happy to say that Oregon, as of now, is providing 98% of their veterans intensive services. So in my mind, that means that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're helping those veterans that need the help the most. And in fact, Department of Labor not only measures that nationally, they measure it regionally. So Oregon is part of what you call the San Francisco region. So that's Oregon, Washington, California, Nevada, Alaska, Hawaii, and I think Guam. I think I got them all. Of all of those folks, all those states in our region, Oregon is number one for providing intensive services to veterans. And then if you compare us to the rest of the nation, we're number four in the nation for providing intensive services. I couldn't be prouder of the Veterans Representative staff. I think they do an excellent job. I think they go above and beyond their communities to partner with people. And in fact, you notice here, I have a little table, right? And that's actually just a snapshot of what Department of Labor measures on a quarterly basis. And what I wanted to show everybody is we're focused on employment. They measure our employment rate, our retention rate, and our average earnings. And I'm happy to say that in the 3 years that I've been in this role, we have met or exceeded our program goals about 90% of the time. Now, I have some statistics here on the last page, but I don't want to bore everybody. The only thing I would point out is that our unemployment rate is lower than it was last year. It was 7.1% in 2015.
The veteran unemployment rate.
Yes, the veterans unemployment rate was 7.1% in 2015, and it's down to 6.3% in 2016. And what that's telling me is we must be doing something right. I don't want to take up all the time, so does anybody have any questions?
Before I open up for questions, so that's, how recent is that?
This data I actually just got from our workforce analyst, so it's the most recent U.S. Census Bureau data.
So if the state of Oregon is now at 4% mm-hmm. unemployment,
mm-hmm. it's almost not a higher average.
It's two, a little more than 2.5, but it's mm-hmm. going in the right direction. Yeah, exactly. So that's great work. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or did she say 6?
Yeah. So, questions? Yes, sir, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Evans. I just want to, you know, thank you for the work you're doing. I know it's very valuable and important, and all the statistics and details is a lot of information to compile, but I think very important, and it's good for to quantify and qualify the resources that we're dedicating to this program. So I thank you for that, and look forward to continued reduction of unemployment among veterans.
Thank you.
Jim, did you have some comments you wanted to share? Or are you here to help with questions and backup?
Chair Evans, members of the committee, I'm Jim Booker, Federal Programs Manager for the Oregon Employment Department. I'm really here to support and bring Shannon up to a place where I was years ago when I first started as a Veterans Program Coordinator. But I will say that we at the Employment Department work with anyone and everyone, work hard, find solutions outside the box. We're here to help. We want to make this happen. And I think we have done a good job. And honestly, I think Shannon's been one of the best Veteran Program Coordinators we've ever had.
Wow. You want to watch out for being volunteered into a task force.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Booker has nightmares from the task force he was volunteered on back in 2008, but that's a different story. So any other questions for the two of them? Here's the challenge and question I have.
Okay.
It would be very helpful for our planning purposes if we could understand, and again, I have a very small brain, so I need it in very clear terms, what an extra 200,000 could do, what an extra 400,000 could do, what an extra 600,000 could do. In terms of outreach and services, we're trying to find a delicate balance between ensuring that we support the CVSO program on the outreach side to get more vets into the system so that they're eligible to get services, and on the other, direct services that make a difference in employment, education, healthcare, housing, et cetera. So we have a number of bills that specify specific programs. In many cases, there are already programs that have been proven themselves to be helpful. We just want more and better, so more. So to the extent that that's possible, if you could come up with, again, this is not, you're not going to be held accountable to the decimal point being this place or that, but rather a ballpark idea of what you could do with those dollars, given the 19,000 folks that you already serviced, the 5,700 that you helped into employment, connecting again, understanding that it's not a specific or precise science, but giving us a ballpark of what you could achieve with more through the Lever DVOP program and maybe some things that used to be around that aren't funded anymore, that would be very, very helpful.
Chairman Evans, I'd just like to say thank you. Thank you for thinking of our veterans. And there are just so many things that we could do with that funding. But I'm going to be honest. I want to be thoughtful about this. I want to be able to go back and talk to Jim and talk to executive leadership and honestly talk to the veterans representatives, especially the ones in the rural communities, because they're going to know better than I know because their feet are on the ground right there. I want to have a good, consistent plan that I present to you that will actually give you results. So that being said, I don't want to just throw some things out. I want to be able maybe give us a week or so to put something together.
Do 2 weeks.
How about 2 weeks? Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any questions? Any other things you want them to bring back while we have their attention?
Good job.
All right. Keep doing what you're doing. Thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. This is going to close the informational hearing. Out of respect for that university that is in Eugene and a certain member from the district in Kaiser, we're going to carry over House Bill 3132 to April 6th, and we're going to carry over House Bill 3174 to March 30th, next Thursday. Now, just truth in advertising, House Bill 3174, some folks that were going to testify on it aren't here, so don't feel quite so bad. But the other bill, I'm moving for you, Representative Post, because
they're here, is that what you said?
They're not here.
They're not here? Oh.
So, well. But one of the bills I'm moving just for you, so there we go.
Don't forget Representative Lively. He's represents that area.
He does it with stoic discipline. He didn't ask to have it off. I just knew it was important to him.
He just knew that it was important to him.
I know.
Thank you.
Anyway,
wow.
Again,
people's work for basketball.
Work groups, please keep them going. Keep us informed. I'm hearing good things from agencies. Good questions are being asked. I really appreciate it. Represent Post, seriously, I do appreciate the update on the Aries thing. I think that's great. We're going to be working that down.
Yep.
Have a great rest of your week, and we will close this out and see you on Tuesday.
All right.
See you on Tuesday.